This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass, and this time we do have Victoria's Deputy Chief Health Officer, Dr. Annelise Van Diemen, on the airwaves. Good morning to you, Annelise.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the airwaves this morning. This is a topic that our community is deeply, deeply concerned about, and I hate to say that hysteria seems to be emerging along with a whole range of other stigmas and phobias and so forth. Tell us the latest. What is the latest? What are the latest precautions that we should all be taking?
Yeah, absolutely. So the latest is that there are increasing numbers of cases internationally, and certainly we're seeing increasing numbers of cases out of South Korea, Italy and Iran particularly, but numbers of cases are being reported in many other countries, up to 52 now, as well as cases continuing in China. The situation in Australia, however, is very different from that. It remains very stable. We've had no new imported cases for a number of weeks now, outside of those that have come off the Diamond Princess.
And Annelise, it's Macca here, your colleague, actually the Chief Health Officer. He this morning tweeted an article from New Scientist, which was headed, What You Need to Know to Prepare for a COVID-19 pandemic. Now, we're not at a pandemic, but one of the things in this, where one of the sections in it, I don't know if you've seen the article, but it talks about social distancing and good hygiene, and it says, move at least a meter away from someone who appears ill if you can. Don't shake hands, hug or kiss people as a greeting. Wash your hands often with soap and water, which is always good advice, or use an alcohol hand rub, especially after touching surfaces that might be contaminated. I had a question around the hand washing and those alcoholic hand rubs. It's not a joke. Yep. It's not a joke, this, but if you didn't have those alcoholic hand rubs, could you actually use alcohol, like an alcohol-based drink, like a scotch or, you know, if you put rub some... No, I'm serious, because it's actually quite difficult to get these hand sanitizers and things at the moment, Tass. I'm not suggesting everyone runs around and dips their
Annelise.
I wouldn't suggest it. But if you are desperate, alcohol, you know, high percentage alcohol can be used as a disinfectant and has been done so in the past.
Okay.
It's not what we would recommend.
No. No. Otherwise, everyone will walk around smelling like a grog shop.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that we should all be just essentially employing standard infection control procedures, using a handkerchief, you know, washing our hands thoroughly, keeping a bit of a distance from it. Is there anything else that we should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the major message at the moment, is for everybody to become a little bit more aware of our cough etiquette and our hand hygiene, which is... It's remarkably difficult to do, actually. And if you concentrate on how often we touch our faces, our noses, and put our hands up towards our faces, it's actually very difficult to do. So it's one of those things that needs to be a really conscious effort to make into being a habit. In medicine and in general practice, we talk about the magic meter, so staying away from people. And the other important thing that there's been a change in recent years around respiratory etiquette is don't sneeze into your hands, try and sneeze into your elbow.
Yeah.
Because you don't touch things with your elbow. So if you're going to sneeze or cough, try and do it into your elbow and not into your hands. And just also be very, very sensible about, if you are sick, don't go to work. Don't go on public transport. Be don't soldier on, you know, cultural and those other sort of messages around take some medicine and you'll be right to go to work and do all of these other things. They don't make you non-infectious. They might make you feel better, but they don't stop you from being infectious to other people. So please, and the message to employers is, don't make the expectation clear to your staff that if you are unwell, please don't come to work.
They're great messages, Annalise.
As possible.
But what I'm a bit perplexed about is, given that there is such a low presence of COVID-19 in Australia, why are we taking all these precautions?
There is a low presence at the moment, and we're asking people to take these precautions mostly to get into the habit of taking these precautions, and also because when this is introduced to Australia and it starts to take off in Australia, what will cause our numbers to increase is unrecognised importation. At the moment, we are trying to test as many people as we possibly can so that we can recognise any importations from any countries which have cases. But clearly what has happened in South Korea, in Italy and in Iran is that they've had importations into their country that haven't been recognised and have therefore spread amongst the community. So it's almost inevitable that it will happen in Australia at some point in the coming months.
Annalise, looking 5-6 months ahead takes us into the depths of winter. What will Australia look like in 5 or 6 months' time?
Look, it's quite difficult to say exactly what Australia will look like, and there's a number of different possibilities because the information that we have about this virus varies quite broadly depending on which country it's coming in from, what the information is coming from, and all of our health systems are quite different. The baseline health of our populations is quite different. But we are preparing for something that is worse than last year's flu season and worse than the 2017 flu season. And we anticipate that it's likely that that will be the case, particularly because there is no vaccine and there is no antiviral medications at this point in time. So in 5 or 6 months' time, it is impossible to say, and we are hoping that it will be, you know, mildly worse than a bad flu season, but we are preparing for it to be significantly worse than a bad flu season and for there to be a large number of people who need hospitalisation or intensive care support.
I wanted to ask Annalise, do we know what the how long the virus survives away, you know, so if it's passed on by humans in some way?
Yeah.
And, you know, I assume that effectively means it's either, you know, potentially it's for an initial period it's airborne until it lands somewhere else and you then transmit it to yourself. What is the, how long do we know how long the virus lives outside or away from the human body? Do we have any idea of that? Is it, you know?
At this point in time, no. There's a lot of research going. There's a lot of people trying to find that out, which is why the message is, you know, frequent hand washing and don't touch your face. You know, if you touch a surface that has a virus on it and it's on your hand.
And you touch your face, it's,
as long as you don't touch your face or your nose or your mouth, then it shouldn't be able to get into you. So that's why this message around keeping your hands away from your face is really important.
There's lots of talk about this at the moment, and it's hard to know what's fact and what's fiction.
Yeah, so where do people get the facts?
Yeah, good question, Macca.
So the Victorian government has got a COVID-19 dedicated website. So that's at www.dhhs/coronavirus. Or possibly novel coronavirus. Apologies, I know that they changed that at some point soon. But if you Google DHHS coronavirus, the website will come up. There's extensive information there for the general public. There's quite a bit of translated information. There's information there for health practitioners, health services, general practices, for schools and employers and further communications material for other media outlets. So that would be the Victorian point of truth, and then the Commonwealth also has a significant amount of information on their website.
I think we can assume that they are aligned with each other?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Fantastic.
There's the occasional difference in terms of which phone numbers to call, because they obviously the Commonwealth is federal and we've got specific state things, but they are aligned in terms of content and material.
Now, I had another question, Annalise. I don't know whether you saw it this morning. There was a media report, and I think it was from Hong Kong, that a lady that had tested positive to the virus, that her pet was also tested, but at a low level of the presence of the virus. Had you seen that report?
I haven't seen that report. The thing about coronaviruses is that they are a very broad, there's hundreds of them.
Right.
There were six and there's now seven that we know of that infect humans, but there are in fact hundreds that infect animals across the spectrum. So this one, in all likelihood, came from an animal of some sort and mutated enough to be able to infect humans. So a dog being, without being able to say which test they used and all of that sort of thing, it's not an unreasonable proposition that an animal tests positive for a coronavirus, whether it is this one or
this
one of the other many known coronaviruses, is uncertain.
Look, you know, as Deputy Medical Officer, Chief Medical Officer, this is a, you know, it's a really challenging time, you know, for for you. I'm just interested, you know, that there is a lot of, and I use the word advisedly, but I do see it as panic out there. You know, we've seen Chinese restaurants being empty. You know, I saw someone at the supermarket yesterday with a trolley full of hand sanitizer tissues. You know, I think they think they're going to live 812 years. You know, how do we, and you know, and the federal government talks about there being adequate stocks of masks and, you know, all this sort of stuff.
You know,
but
Italy's in lockdown.
Yeah, how do we introduce
50%
of
workplaces are going to be infected. Yeah. So how do we deal with all of this?
How do we introduce, you know, as the people responsible for the policy and the implementation, you know, of quarantine where it's necessary and et cetera, what do you say to people? You know, do you say, hey, guys, take a chill pill? Like, what do you say?
We are at the point where it is a very difficult message to give. We don't want people in Australia at this point in time to be panicking, and we don't want them, we certainly never want them to be being prejudiced against people of particular ethnicities for absolutely no reason. Because the Chinese community and specifically in the Asian community in Australia generally have done absolutely nothing wrong and have absolutely been completely cooperative with all things that have been requested of them by authorities across the world and in Australia. And as you said, and as we said, the situation in Australia is stable at the moment. There isn't community spread at this point in time. The contrast to that message is that we do want people to have an awareness that this may impact the community in coming months, and it likely will impact the community in coming months, and that there will probably be, you know, inconveniences at best, but also significant impacts at worst in terms of absenteeism from work, requirements to stay home until you are well, disruptions to our health system in terms of increased load on our health system and increased wait times and that kind of thing.
Thank you very much, Annalise. The messages are very loud and clear. Adopt our universal precautions. Get informed. Get more information from the DHHS website. Look up coronavirus. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank
Unfortunately,
you.
We've ran out of time, so we'll need to move
on.
No
worries.
We may get you back on very shortly for a bit of an update. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.